Welcome back to The Last Dorm. We got no guns here, but we do have strippers, so we hope that you've joined for the fun. Dave, how you doing, and what's up with Ja?
Dude, I gotta say is the more time that goes on, the more I get enthusiastically excited about how Sam Presti has drafted this team. Because if you look at the interviews and you look at our interactions that we've had with Shea, who is our superstar, you don't get a lot of that other shit. You don't get all that, like, I'm gonna flash my gun at the strip club with all the strippers and all my buddies around. Listen, I don't get it. And he's videotaping himself doing it. Like, does he think he's untouchable? Does he think that he's not going to get in trouble by the NBA, that the NBA is not going to crack down? I don't get this idea that I'm going to act like and portray myself as a thug as okay. You know, like, look at Shea, man. Dude. Like, Shea has his professionalism. Look at the greats of the NBA. They have a way of keeping themselves professional. Looking at basketball as one of those ideas of what you can do if you stay professional and not get in trouble from the law for flashing a weapon in a public area. Like, what is wrong?
Right, and he punched a teen. We've heard about that.
Punched it? Accused, what the fuck, allegedly. Dude? Come on.
We'll go with allegedly. Oh, and then on top of that, recently, from his vehicle that he was in, somebody was pointing a laser at an opponent after
a
game.
Do you think it was a laser now? Or do you think it actually was a weapon?
It was a laser that was mounted on a gun, bro.
Oh, shit, bro. What the fuck's going on, dude?
I think that the NBA has a problem. Would it surprise you at this point if we found out Ja Morant was the next Aaron Hernandez?
Oh, bro, that's some deep shit, bro.
Okay, so he points a weapon. We don't know if it's loaded or not. Maybe it's not a weapon, but just a laser that you would put on a weapon. Now we see as a weapon. But he does this, right, at an opponent. Aaron Hernandez never did anything like that, because that would have just said, hey, you're fucking crazy, right? But, okay, so he's never, done anything, bumped into somebody at a strip club and felt like they needed to get shot up? Like, that's what he's trying to portray himself as.
And that's what's concerning. Like, again, it's that thug mentality. Like, there's a gangster mentality. You know, like, there's certain ways, mafia mentality. There's a certain way of portraying yourself, right? Okay? You don't do certain things unless you want to be looked at in a certain way. Like, you don't wear a certain type of suit unless you want people to think that you're part of the mafia. You don't, you know, walk around with, you know, weapons in your or in your belt unless you want to portray as a certain type of individual. And that's what's concerning is here he is, and millions of kids around the world look up to this man. Look up to him. He's got his own daughter. You know, he has people around him that depend on him. And here he is doing something that could not only hurt him, but hurt everybody else around him. I mean, think about it. I mean, if Memphis loses him for 10 games for this, which is completely plausible, yes, Memphis is okay. They're in the playoffs and they have pretty good luck and getting into the playoffs. But where does this make Memphis and Morant and everybody else feel about him? Because what, next time that he does something stupid, he's a 50-game suspension? You know, like, listen, we've seen it happen before where we've let stuff like this get away. And then all of a sudden, you're getting malice in the palace. If people don't know what that is, go watch Detroit versus the Pacers. Malice in the palace. You got a fan threw a beer onto Ron Artest, and Ron Artest charged the stands. Like, we're so close to something like that happening again. Like, we need to figure out how to stop that before it does.
Shooting up an opposing team from a car, that's so much worse than the malice in the palace. Like, here's the thing. People can say, like, okay, we need to address this one thing with Ja. Okay, fine. But shouldn't we take everything else that's happened and put it into context? Like, this...
Well, yeah.
He needs to be suspended for more than just the remainder of this season. I'm thinking an entire season next season, because nothing else will get through to him. If you say sit down for the rest of the season, he's going to act like everybody else is bad. If you say we don't want that in the NBA, we don't care if you're the best player, go play somewhere else. Go play somewhere else if you really want to go, you know, go make good money in China. Go play somewhere else. We don't want that in the NBA. Then you're just taking a stand. This is Adam Silver's first real challenge as a commissioner. And I think he's trying to be the players commissioner. So I think he's going to fumble this one. And if you don't figure out a way to make Ja understand that this is unacceptable, there is a new generation that's going to come up that are going to mimic him. But here's the thing. On the polar opposite side, we have Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. And we've been saying it for a while. He's a better player. He's a better teammate. And obviously, if you're going to build around somebody, it's not even close anymore.
Yeah, and this is something last year we heard all these people say that Morant was way better than Shea. And we would sit here and stood our ground saying that maybe Morant's better this year because Shea's been injured. But the reality is that Shea's always going to be a better player than Morant. And it goes back to how Shea plays the game. It's something that I brought up last time. And, you know, I got called out. You know, somebody called me out for how far did Dave get in his career of basketball. And, you know, I had horrible knees. I've torn my ACL 3 times. And every single time I try to make a comeback, I had a knee injury or a back injury. And there was no longer any opportunities for me to play basketball. I realized that I could either A, have a very short life and end up having knee replacements and shoulder surgery or shoulder replacements and different things like that. Or I could just hang him up after high school and be content. And that's what I decided to do instead of pursuing college. And I decided I want to be a coach more so. And that's where I put my energy and effort into. And I look at when I'm looking at players and I'm evaluating players, I like to see that heart. I call it the inner dog, right? Like their backs are against the wall. You know, they've got 4 other players, 5 other players that are going head on against you. Your back's against the wall. What are you going to do? You know, and we used to do these drills where it'd be 3-on-1. You know, those are the moments that you would get to see what type of player those guys were. And I used to have these incredibly talented players that I would barely play that were on the team. And the reason is that they didn't have that dog mentality. They didn't have, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I was trying to train and raise these guys how to be like that. You know, and I see Shea and I see Kenny Hustle and I see Dort and I see this passion that they're passing to the guys. And it's like, yeah, that's it. That's what Sam Presti drafted. That's the human being that Sam Presti drafted. That's the person that he wants in this organization for 5 to 10, 15, 20 years. Because if he didn't want these guys in the organization for 20 years, he would be killing their minutes right now. But he's making sure that these guys are being taken care of so they have longevity in their careers, guys. So you look at Sam Presti, you look at how he's drafting these guys, and you look at the people that he's put around Shea, right? To make him successful. And you can't help but say Oklahoma City Thunder have a better chance of being more successful and winning more championships than Memphis. Because at this point, Memphis is looking like, what are we going to do? Yes, you have a good team, but what if you don't have Morant? What if you don't have Morant? And yeah,
say that they were the best in the West. Maybe they're the only ones that could stop themselves, but it looks like they're doing it.
Yeah. Listen, if this was at his house, it would be one thing, you know, like, yeah, I was at my house, you know, messing around. Okay, cool. Because in the structure of your home, concerning, right? Mm-hmm. But it's in your property. But this is a public area. And as he's going around singing and rapping, you get to see there's not just him in that place. It's not just him. And it's concerning. And it's
tough
more
because the gun crime in Memphis is a really sad situation. And you don't want to see someone who has as much positive impact on a community have a negative impact in this way.
It is. You're right, man. And that's why we're sitting here talking about it and how grateful we are that we have an organization like the Oklahoma City Thunders, because if there was any sniffs of that when you're drafting a player, it stopped. It stopped the process of drafting that player. Like, we no longer want that player.
Yeah, like, we're not, nobody within any element of the NBA thinks that the Thunder in any way will be interested in Brandon Miller. Fair or not, whether or not he was guilty or not, but if that, like you're saying, he could be the most talented player in this draft, but that wouldn't even begin to sway Sam Presti on it.
That's right. And it's this idea of passion mixed with professionalism, mixed with understanding of how to hold yourself accountable for the actions that you do. And some people just don't have that. And it's not a knock on anybody, you know. It's not a diss on anybody. It's just the structure of people's brains. Some people have that idea that, hey, if I bring a weapon in public and I'm in the NBA, I'm going to get some time that I'm not going to be able to play hoops and I'm going to lose pay. And then there's some people that just don't understand that. And when they don't understand it, that's when you get concerned. When they're posting videos of them with a weapon, that's when you get concerned. You know, like, how many people are going to go in Memphis that are going to be 14-year-old, 16-year-old kids that are going to go get their handguns because it's like, hey, I, you know, Morant had this one. I want this one. Morant had it. You know, like that's what's concerning, because you said Memphis is one of the worst cities in the country for guns. And yes, not the worst, but per capita, it's pretty horrible, man. And I get concerned about stuff. And like for me, I like you said, this is Adam Silver's opportunity to flex his muscles. And if he doesn't do it, shame on him, because he's got a wide open layup right now.
And from our perspective as Thunder fans, we like to look at it and say, our state motto is hard work conquers all. Mm. And when Dave talks about like what he looks for in a player when he was coaching, what he would coach for in a player, it's a player who understands that. They're not always the most talented player. Usually they're not. Usually something about not being the most talented player is what teaches you that. But like you said in the previous podcast, that the NBA, talent is earned, right? And some players you can look at and say they're the exception, but we'll remove those.
But they can stay in the league until they get to 26, 27 years old. So they have, you know, a 4, 5, 6 year career, maybe even an 8 year career if they get in at 18 years old. But if you're not working on that, if you're not getting better at it, if you're not transitioning your game, then the talent is wasted. You look at LeBron. I mean, you think that that's all pure talent that he has?
Right.
No,
right.
That's something that he's had to work on through the years to get to that level, because his game's transitioned so much into being an old man.
And that's what we're looking for, is players that can bridge that gap, right? Use your youth and athleticism, but teach yourself that game so that you can play for a very long time. And that's why we love the Thunder. And we appreciate you guys joining us. And we're going to be back, pumped up about the next game. Thunder up, baby. Let's get the Jazz.